This is Dr. Allie Evans welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Mike Gwaltney, and we are going to be talking about swimming, and it's perfect time to talk about swimming because we have nice weather. And we have an indoor pool, so it doesn't need to be nice weather. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike is a teacher's assistant at North Coast Youth Correctional Facility. And he's also the assistant coach to the North Coast Swim Club, which is our very own nonprofit swim club here on the North Coast. And he's a father. So you have a lot of experience with youth and helping them, so to speak.
Lots and lots of experience, actually. Six of them in my house. So
that's
yes,
right.
Yes,
that's
lots
right.
of experience.
You're the father extraordinaire. Plus, how many swimmers can we call your kids on our swim team?
I think we're at 25 now,
yeah,
and climbing. So yeah, it's growing. It's been awesome.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit just about you and your story and how you ended up here and how you ended up doing what you're doing.
Well, moved to Astoria about a year ago, almost September. So not quite a Goonie yet from what I'm told by the locals, but close.
Right.
Actually came here on accident, believe it or not. One of our swimmers decided to visit Roseburg, which is where we moved from in southern Oregon, and was visiting, and we always let visiting swimmers come in and swim on our team. And kind of started as a joke. Hey, we're looking for a coach maybe up in Astoria. And I'm like, oh, isn't that where Goonies was filmed? And that's about the extent of my knowledge at that point in time. And then we make a long story short, we came up here and visited and fell in love with the community. And one thing led to another. It was just an open door after another open door.
Yeah.
And we're very privileged to be a part of the community and coach an awesome bunch of kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Mike's wife, Catherine, is the coach of the swim club as well. So together they help our kids.
That's right. She's
learn
the boss.
To swim. Actually, I shouldn't say learn to swim. Those kids are amazing swimmers. They give me a run for their money.
They are.
So, and you kind of found your niche working with youth. Do you think that was just sort of a natural progression? Or do you think you're just a kid at heart?
Oh, I've been told by people that I'm a kid in an adult body, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's what helps me be able to do what I do.
Yeah.
Is being a big kid. I just love work. I always have since I can remember. Love working with kids of all ages. I really don't have a favorite age mm-hmm. bracket. I like being around them, and they like being around me, I think. So we have a good time. We have a good time.
That's right. Do you kind of see, well, especially in your work at the correctional mm-hmm. facility, what do you think are the biggest issues that kids are facing these days and the biggest thing that we need to be cognizant about?
You know, I think it all starts with family.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest foundation. No matter what type of a child I work with, whether it be one that's troubled or one that's not, I think it all comes down to the family and that foundation. That's what I believe to be either the lacking, or if it's not lacking, you can definitely tell.
Do you think that foundation is kind of sliding away? Are we seeing less and less of the solid family foundation?
I think in the times that we're in, it's kind of hard mm-hmm. to see a lot of things clearly at
yeah.
this point. Not to get too political, but I think that is something that it either is really lacking or it's very strong.
Right.
There's not really a middle.
Right.
I think that's a huge part of why kids are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
And do you kind of agree with the, I know our community did sort of an assessment, mm-hmm. a needs assessment of what we want in terms of health for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically for kids, it was looking at preventing addictions.
Right.
Childhood obesity and mental illness, which kind of all can go hand in hand. Do you agree? Would you add to that? Would you edit that?
I totally agree. I think, especially just using swimming, obviously, as an example, when you have a young lady or a young gentleman who gets in the pool and doesn't think that he or she can accomplish something through swimming,
right?
And then you see that accomplishment occur. You see this light go on in their eyes. I think that's one of the reasons too why I like to do it so much, is when that light goes off, you just see them light up, and
right.
So much behind that smile or even tears that they have, that, you know, I've seen all of that, and there's a lot of goodness behind that, and that's health, mental health, the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, it's all wrapped into that. And and once they meet those goals and that first goal is met, they want to keep going. And, it's just cool to drive that.
Well, and it's such a unique thing, because I think swimming is, it's an individual sport, right? You get in, you dive off the block, it's the clock and it's you and it's your lane. And yes, you're swimming with other swimmers, but it's all about you and your times and how you're improving.
Right.
But yet you're sort of in this framework of a team. So you're supported and you're part of this social network and this moral support and this collective sort of excitement. But it's kind of those two things, which makes it a little bit of a unique sport compared to like soccer or basketball or any of these team sports where you as the individual, you can score, but it's really, is your team going to win?
Right. And in take an individualized sport and try to turn it into something of a team by having your team like cheer you on when you're racing and things like that. So, yes, it's an individualized, similar to track and field, you know, but you try to get that team perspective too, because as they get older, and especially if they swim in high school, that's more of a team part. High school
swimming
is more team effect. And so, so you're trying to just build them up from the youngest all the way up to the oldest. So,
And I know for me, my son swims and he just started this year. But one of the most touching things for me, I will say, was going to meet one of his first meets and hearing Coach Catherine say, if you're not swimming and your teammate is, you are on that lane cheering them on.
Absolutely.
And seeing that was sort of this like eye-opening moment of these kids are learning not only just that it's about them and the clock, but it's also about what we do for others and how we support others, and that they're not the center of the universe and they're only as good as, you know, their team makes them.
And we I think that's from my perspective, and I believe I can speak for my wife's as well. That's probably one of the most important parts of a coaching,
right?
Is teaching the kids sportsmanship, not only for the kids that they're on the same team with, but we've had swimmers actually cheer on kids from other teams. That there's so much more bigger picture than what's going on at the moment.
Totally.
And swimming is a sport that we're, you know, a part of, but we also look at the big picture. What are we trying to develop in these kids, so when they go off on their own someday, you know, how we have a part of that.
Yeah, and there's such this, I know I didn't realize this, but there's such this life outside the pool that happens as part of swim club and as part of these sports that put a team together, where it's this like counseling and being a support system outside of the family. You know, you guys as coaches are sort of second parents to these children.
We're proud of that.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's so much more than what, you know, you see on TV during the Olympics and you see maybe on TV as far as college, like NCAA championships. I mean, you as a coach, you look at those kids, some of which you've known, some of which you might have coached. And what you say, what you do on a daily basis can make or break a young person and what they think of themselves. And it's so much, there's so much more important thing than just the water. I mean, so much more important stuff.
Yeah. And I know I heard Coach Catherine saying one time that when you get in the pool and when you dive in, the one thing you can't control is the clock, right? You don't have control over the clock, but you have control over your attitude, you have control over your effort, you have control over the focus you put in and the belief in yourself, but you cannot control the clock. And I just thought, gosh, that's such an analogy to life, right? We can't control, there's lots of factors we can't control, but there's the factors we can control, and that's what we focus on.
Right.
You know, you can't make the clock tick slower.
And you have to teach them, you know, and I think, and my wife is also very good in making sure that that the kids understand that not every race is going to be your best race.
Totally.
Not every meet's going to be your best meet. And so to handle, I won't say losing because they're not losing, but not getting that best time at a swim meet and being able to handle that with grace and learn, okay, how do we go to the next race knowing that I didn't do so hot this race? And so it's a mental build as well.
Totally.
And, so,
and yeah. Again, very analogous to life. We don't always succeed. We mess up. We make mistakes. And that's humanity.
Right.
And to show them that and to teach that from a young age and the acceptance of that and to sort of gracefully flow with, okay, we've swam slower today.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yep.
And I know the one of the things that I think is a really cool part about our swim club and most swim clubs is it's sort of like a mixed age classroom. You know, you've got older kids, younger kids, and you see the older really helping out the younger, and you see the younger looking up to the older, and it sort of gives them this reason to act well and be good and be a model. Right. But I think that part is really incredible, too.
Well, we like to... We call it mentor teaching, taking some of our older kids and putting them in the lanes with the younger ones and teaching them how to do flip turns and teaching them how to dial
that's
off
right.
the block correctly. And yeah, that's goes back to the leadership and / sportsmanship, all of it. So
right. Yeah. I know there was a study the German sports college did looking at kids and the effect of specifically swimming on children. And it looked at, you know, obviously there's a bunch of physical benefits that swimming provides that we'll talk about. But in terms of the other things that weren't physical, it was talking about self-discipline, which makes sense, but an increase in self-esteem, which is really interesting. And maybe that goes back to what you're saying about the like seeing yourself succeed and starting to believe in yourself, just baby steps at a time.
Right.
Problem-solving behaviors were proven to be way more, the children were way more able to problem solve, the children that were regular swimmers.
Right.
And then the motor skills development, but also they looked at MRIs of the brain and showed areas of the brain that developed quicker from swimming. So
Wow. We
know, I mean, it's been well studied, the benefits, but then we also see it in the behavior of our kids. And I know they did a study too, looking at attention deficit and hyperactive children. And there was, in those kids, their rate of addiction is 3 times higher than a child that doesn't have that. And they looked at swimming as kind of an antidote to it and found that the water has this effect of, and this is true for adults as well, the water has this effect of shutting off that sensory overload and kind of resetting. You know, no different than a baby in the uterus in this watery environment. It's just this reset to the nervous system.
I can tell you that there are some of our elite swimmers in our country have come out and talked about ADHD.
Uh-huh.
And they struggle with it. And the pool, a lot of times, Michael Phelps being one of them, getting him in the water at a young age, that's what his mom used to help him regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him now. I mean,
right.
And he's a great example, and he's not shy to talk about that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think that's he's an incredible ambassador for that.
Yeah. You know? And I think there's something to be said about just the healing power of water in general. Like, I think, you know, we're talking about swimming, and it doesn't mean, for all the listeners out there, it doesn't mean you have to get in and swim a mile.
Right.
It can literally be the process of just getting in the water can reset the nervous system. I think there's a therapeutic effect that's beyond just, you know, needing to swim laps or needing to be a master in it whatsoever.
Right.
You
we've had kids that are autistic.
Yeah.
That will jump in the pool and say, "Hey, this is the only time that my body doesn't hurt."
That's right.
That is an awesome thing to hear.
Yeah.
Well,
and the effect, like water is, you know, 600 to 800 times denser than air. And so you get in the water and that weight on you in the water can do so much for the nervous system, too. You know, we look at weighted blankets. We look at, you know, some kids will do the vests, like the fishing
burrito vests.
The burrito.
Yeah.
And the water just naturally does that. So for anyone, whether they need the reset or not, it's going to have that effect.
Right.
Yeah. And do you... Do you feel like in your time of coaching, have kids changed? Are you noticing kind of trends and things that are changing with the times? Or do you feel like there's sort of the same issues that you're seeing year in, year out, and you kind of just witness that transformation?
I've been coaching swimming for, this is my sixth year. And I think the only thing that changes as far as in the swim world, it's not really the kids, but it's the pressure. I think that the times that come out, they seem to get faster and faster every year. And
if the kids get
online, they look it up, they go, oh my gosh, this has gotten faster. This has gotten faster. And they put that pressure on themselves to get that time. And, I think that's the only thing that I would say has changed about the sport. It's just, it gets faster and faster. And it's trying to keep those kids at bay. Enjoy the sport. Don't forget to enjoy it. And if you end up someday getting that time, great. Right. But don't let it ruin your journey.
Right. And I really commend both of you as coaches, because you guys are so good about balancing the do this because it's fun, do this because you're part of the team, how do you think you did, rather than the being married to the clock.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. There's a lot more to it than the clock, because if you're totally sucked into that, then it eventually will. You won't last.
That's right.
You won't last.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Mike Waltney about swimming and the benefits of swimming. I'm Dr. Allie Evans, and this is Light on Health. You're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio, and we are talking about swimming. And this is making me want to go get in the pool instead of going back to work. I will say, since my son started swimming, I've you know, done swim lessons, and I can swim recreationally, but I've never really swam laps. And when I first started, when he started, I was like, okay, I'm going to just start swimming laps while he's at practice. And the first day, I think I swam maybe like, I don't know, let's say 15 lengths. And I was like, wow, I'm really bored.
You're getting faster,
and
Allie.
Who can I talk to? But I think it's been an interesting process. Now I actually crave getting in the water. And I will say, you notice your stamina increase very quickly. Like from even one day to the next, you feel like, oh, I can swim a few more laps and it's no big deal.
Right. I think when I try to swim every day after work as well. And I think I started with like 12 laps, just kind of like you.
Yeah.
And then it just gets better and better by the week, and you increase your number. And
that's right.
So it doesn't matter what age you are, you can still get in there and have fun. So
there's something also, at first I wanted music. You know, I thought, oh, if I have music, I can swim more. And now I crave that silence, that my ears going under the water and that silence. I absolutely love it now.
Peace and quiet.
Yeah. So for all the adults out there too listening, let's talk a little bit about the benefits of swimming. And just this morning, I literally think it just came out this morning, there was a gigantic study that was done in England by an organization called Swim England. And they were looking, they did a study called the Health and Well-Being Benefits of Swimming. And I literally think it came out today. You can look online, if you look up Swim Swam, which is a ridiculous name, swimswam.com, there's this link to the study. And they looked at all the health benefits, which we know, which, you know, some are new, some are things that have been well studied. But it also looked at the community impact and the benefits to communities of having places to swim. And that the part that was the most interesting to me was that idea of we live in this time where a lot of people feel kind of isolated, feel maybe like they don't quite fit in socially. They feel like they can't make human connections when they want to, aside from, you know, Facebook and the internet. And that swimming pools offer this place that's a social gathering place that's open all day long. Mm-hmm. And that even if you're not talking to someone, you're in this kind of collective group. And so that's the first time I've seen that in studies.
Well, look at, you know, I'm also a lifeguard, so I lifeguarded for 3 years back in Roseburg, and that's one of the reasons why I think I did it was you get to see families really at their best. Even families that I knew were struggling, you bring them to that pool for 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And they are loving on their kids, or loving on each other. And it's just this cool thing that, you know, like you said, water does.
It does. Well, when we look at it in the, you know, if we look at water historically, it's always been used as a reset, right? We look at baptisms. We look at the Jewish tradition of mikveh. There's all these traditions of like ritual bathing and dunking and resetting.
Right.
Yeah. And we like to take, you know, that whole Calgon take me away bubble bath moment.
Yeah.
So, and one of the, talking about some of the health benefits, one of the cool things about swimming is it's cardio and strength all in one. You don't have to pick. You don't have to go to the gym and be like, am I doing cardio today or am I doing strength? It actually does both at the same time.
Right, right. I tend to, when I swim, gain muscle, which is kind of strange because a lot of people will lose and lean out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm kind of freakish, I guess, that way. But you can take water and swim laps and get a kickboard, sit on the kickboard and move your arms, you know, by sitting on that. And that's basically like doing weight training. And I do that too. And so there's a lot of little quirky things you can do in the water.
And I think the biggest take home, and tell me if you agree, but the biggest take home to the listeners is you do not have to be a good swimmer. You literally getting in the water and moving your body does the same thing.
You could just
walk. You might
be
slower and not win the Olympics, but you're still getting the resistance and cardio.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can just get in the water and walk. Exactly.
Absolutely.
The other cool thing is the idea of being weightless. So it's taking any of that strain off of the skeleton and joints. So swimming is one of those things that you can do any stage of life. You can be pregnant. You can have had a knee replacement. You can have limited mobility. You can be handicapped. It's one of those things that takes the strain off of the system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a cool thing too. In terms of the lungs, when you're in the water, your body starts using oxygen more effectively because it's oxygen deprived. So there was a study, they looked at an Indian study in the Journal of Physiology. They looked at swimmers' lungs and they found that they take an increased amount of air in and out just at rest, even out of the pool. So the air is getting way deeper in the lungs. You know, you hear the statistics of how we don't use our full lung capacity. Mm-hmm. People who regularly swim have this increased ability to use oxygen. So they're the ones that you want to climb Mount Everest with.
That's right.
And they looked at that versus runners, too, which is interesting that even versus long, you know, marathon runners and ultra marathoners, that swimmers' abilities to use oxygen are increased. The other really cool thing, which this is kind of fascinating to me, people who are regular swimmers, according to a study out of Indiana University, are biologically 20 years younger than their chronological age.
Agreed.
You agree?
Yes.
Yep.
I feel 15 right now. No.
We did say that you're a child in an adult body.
I've heard that from very famous people, Allie.
But I think that that's, you know, with all these studies of chronic disease, the one thing that's always been the constant is that exercise decreases all chronic disease, period, down the line. So then you look at sort of these added benefits of swimming. It also makes you smarter. 14% increased blood flow to the brain, which is interesting. They say that it might be like it might have to do from the pressure, like pushing blood up to the brain. But I know we were talking there has been studies about looking at out of Australia, looking at academic improvement in children that are swimmers and finding statistical significance to that. So
I would. Yeah. I mean, I think anytime you get in the water and, like you said earlier, if you just get in the water and walk, you will feel different once you're out of the water.
Right.
And like you want to get back in and do it again. It just makes you feel good all around. So,
right.
Absolutely.
It took me a little while.
Mental
Maybe
and
a few
physical.
Weeks.
Yeah. But you're getting faster.
Oh, good. Yay. So let's talk about getting people in the pool. We've talked about the benefits. How would you tell? So let's talk to the person who knows how to swim. They can keep themselves afloat. Mm-hmm. How would you tell someone to start just a basic routine, like how to get in the pool? And here's your coach's prescription of what you could do to just a super simple way to start.
Well, anytime we have a young person or an older person that comes into the pool that wants to, is thinking about joining the swim team, I'll use that as an example.
Sure.
You know, you want to start them. I mean, we've had kids start at just like four laps or four lengths of the pool, sometimes less. And you just build them from that. And each individual is different. Some will be able to go from two laps to four laps in a week. Some will go from 2 to 12. It just kind of depends on the person. And just kind of building like a building block from that point. So,
and I've heard people say, like, let's say you're an adult and you want to just, you're listening to our radio station and you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I'm convinced I'm going to get in the pool. I've heard 20 lengths. So our pool is 25 yards a length. I've heard people get in and just do 20 lengths in any combination. So you can get a kickboard, you can kick on the kickboard, you can do gentle, like you don't have to go hardcore trying to beat any record times, but just a gentle getting yourself back and forth 20 times is plenty as a starting thing.
I think that's a good start. I'm trying to think back when I first got back in the pool after 20 years. I ended up getting back in and deciding to embrace the sport again. And 20 was probably pushing. I think I went 12 the first time. But I'm kind of a competitor, so I probably went a little harder than I should have. So 20, and yet that includes maybe walking a little bit.
And kickboard breaks.
Kicking is going to be hard right off the get-go. Swimmers, generally, that's their least favorite thing to do is kicking. So that's going to really wear you out quickly. So just taking your time, and the key is enjoying that 20 laps and not beating yourself up if you don't make the 20 laps, but don't forget to have fun.
And I know they say 20 minutes a few times a week is plenty, and that you'll start to see the muscle strengthening, you'll see your endurance strengthening, you'll see your breathing become more efficient. And that's, I mean, 20 minutes is, that's nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's all it takes.
And so, if people are interested in the North Coast Swim Club, which is a nonprofit here, we swim at the pool at the Aquatic Center. How do they get information about it, and how do they find out about getting their kiddos to swim at the club?
Well, you can call the pool, the Astoria Aquatic Center, get information that way. You can go online, look up North Coast, or look up AstoriaSwimClub.com, I believe is what it was. And you can get information there.
Or stop by a practice.
Monday through, we're there Monday through Saturday. Monday through Friday, we're there from 5 to 7. And then Saturday is, Catherine, my wife, is there from 9 until noon on Saturday. So we're there pretty much every day of the week except for Sunday to answer any questions.
And if there's any kids that are interested, tryouts, they are welcome to swim with the club and try it out and see if they like it without any commitment.
Absolutely.
Is there anything that sticks out, any kind of last stories or thoughts that stick out in terms of just you witnessing kind of a transformation through swimming, or someone's life change, or just moments that stick out to you?
I had one story, and I think we talked about it a little bit earlier too. I had one girl in Roseburg that swam for us that basically was a miracle child. She shouldn't have been alive, and I don't remember what disorder she had when she was born, but she basically has a colostomy bag that she has to have on all the time. So she swam with a waterproof waistband with this colostomy bag on. And I remember her training very, very hard for, I would say, a good maybe year and a half, 2 years. And finally, we had our first outdoor swim meet, and she ended up racing that day. And in her first heat, or her first race, she won her heat. And everyone started bawling around. Yeah, I think even the officials, which they tend to be tough, they were even a little emotional. So those are the, you know, that's just one of many. I could probably sit here all day with you and tell you different stories. But that one was moving for me. And I believe I could speak for my wife as well. We were both pretty teary that day and enjoy. And who cares about gold medals when you have that?
That's right. You know? That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on. And for anyone who wants to meet you, go to the pool.
Absolutely, I'm there.
You can see him live. And at the very special thank you to our amazing, generous engineer, Kate Brister, without whom we'd have no show because I don't know how to work the dials. You've been listening to Light on Health with my guest, Mike Gwaltney. It's my hope that we've enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Have a great day, everyone.